Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Coach Menachem Berhold tonight on this beautiful Sunday night. Tonight is Shir 225. So first of all, I always want to thank everybody for posting, let people know about it. As I say, it's a thing that's a Sichas Averim, a place to talk through important topics. We're going to a lot in the Menachem, we're starting the sixth year already.
Kenai Nahar,
5 full years of Coach Menachem, entering our sixth year. And just really thank you to people for really being part of it. Really appreciate it. If anyone wants to join the WhatsApp status, the group status, please WhatsApp 732-314-1710. You can go to menachemberhold.com, sign up for his emails over there. I'm also going to post a link for the Coach Menachem community chat in the Zoom link. For all the people that are watching us on YouTube, you can please click on the YouTube link and subscribe to it. You can also click on the like button. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Liquid Scoop, Ellie and Ariel from Flagtown Central, and Chayla Kaufman from JCN, from most of all the digital Jewish platforms. Again, if anybody's here at 1 o'clock, the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., different share and different topic. So please join us next week, March 30th. Sorry, self-care. We're taking care of self-care right here. So next week, which is March 30th, we're going to have another program. It's not confirmed yet. We're working to perform it, so keep in mind, Menachem, surprise. Please join us at Shem March 30th for the next year. And hopefully we'll have another one right before Pesach as well. And we're going to turn it over to Coach Menachem to open it up tonight. Coach Menachem.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another Let's Get Real with Coach Menachem, doing tonight's number 225, Baruch Hashem, with a lot of Siyata Deshmaya. And it's a big source to have Rabbi Tava with us. Not the first time. Mitzvah Shem, a very interesting topic. But before we go there, I do want to mention the organization that sends out our emails, Share Enjoyment. So they're having a Raise It campaign, and for all of those that want to help out, they've been sending out our emails now for a while, and it's a big help for us. So I'll put the link in the chat, so whoever can give, whatever you give is good, so that they can continue their Avodas HaKodesh. So tonight, interesting topic, the topic of self-care. And I always love to hear the feedback from people when they hear the word self-care. It's, you know, maybe a new word. Some people don't want to hear it anymore. What does it really mean? It's childish, cheesy, you know, all these different feedbacks, or selfish. But we live in a very busy, busy world. And we instead of being human beings, we became human doings. And we could be very, very busy. Even busy with ourselves and not being connected to the idea of self-care. So the way I like to say, you know, in a few words, what does self-care mean? So very simple, taking care of yourself. Because if you don't, who will? Learn how to take care of yourself and being there even in the dark days, even in the, you know, during the challenges, being able to hold your hands, being there for yourself. And even the words that I just said sometimes can be confusing. Okay, what does that mean? Obviously, I'm there. I'm there for myself. But it sometimes can get to a very deep concept that being able to understand yourself, to see what your real relationship with yourself is. What's that language that you use?
Call
the conversation
HaLashon
that you're having in your head. When you make a mistake, would you talk the same way to a friend? So some are aware of it and some are not. How do we become aware of my thoughts? You really have to slow down and spend some time with yourself without distractions, without any cell phone, any sfudim, and really being there with yourself, sitting there and becoming aware of yourself. What's going on? How do I work? So you become aware of yourself. And that's why many people have a hard time. Many people don't want to know themselves. It's hard. They don't want to look in the mirror. They don't want to see that person. You know, let me just be busy, distracted. So it could take us to a very deep place with ourselves, really becoming aware of all of our sides, all of our parts, some parts we don't want to meet, the dark, sometimes it can be, you know, the dark side, but all of these ideas. It could be that you're doing the same thing. For example, eating breakfast, taking a shower, you know, most people do that. So that could be, isn't that self-care? But it's really a change in the mindset. All that has to be is like a small, you know, let me go eat breakfast. Let me go take care of myself and give myself breakfast. The same thing with the shower. Dovid HaMelech said he's doing chesed with himself by taking a shower. We all take showers, but many people are not connected with self-care. Because it needs that intention. Like, okay, Menachem, let's go. You know, go take care of Menachem. Like, wow, that's so nice of you. Really somebody taking care of myself. It sounds funny, but we'll talk about it, Mitzvah Hashem. And it's a big schist to have the Flemusha Tauber, something that he talks a lot. It comes up a lot with all the sigyas, with all the conversations that he has. So let's start the conversation, and Mitzvah Hashem, let's see where it goes, and hopefully we'll be able to get to a place where we'll learn new things, to be there for ourselves, with a lot of self-care, Mitzvah Hashem. Shkoyach. I'm you, Tushin.
Shkoyach, was a beautiful opening. Let's get into it tonight. Okay, so Shul Moshe Taub is here with us. The title tonight shared, Discovering a True Self, Embracing Self-Care, Avoiding Selfishness, and Finding Balance in Life. I'm going to read Rav Shul Moshe Taub's bio, and then I'm going to speak 1 minute about my wife's organization, and then the opening is yours. Rav Shul Moshe Taub is a teacher, educator, public speaker with extensive experience in guiding individuals and communities. He's on the Adar Keshanashi Coaching Services. He's a certified trauma and behavior counselor offering innovative solutions for personal and communal challenges, renowned for delivering impact lectures worldwide on topics of self-growth, mental health, and family dynamics. Shul Moshe Taub, but before we start, I just want to mention, my wife has, doing it already, I think this is going to be close to our 6 years of helping people with shaitels. I'm going to post it on the thing, give me 1 second. So my wife, the last 5 years, has been collecting shaitels, people that have extra shaitels, and she redoes them, she gives it out to people, and over the last, I think close to 5 years she's doing this. I think she did over 100 shaitels. She's giving to people, you know, for almost for free, just redoing them. So if anybody has an extra shaitel before Yontif, you could reach out to her at 414-687-8462 or email her or text her or WhatsApp her. And if anybody who's in need of a shaitel, you could also do the same thing, text her and email her. We'll send out this flyer as well. Tremendous amount of shaitels over here and tremendous chesed. And please join. Okay, Rav Shul Moshe Taub, open it up.
Okay, first of all, thanks both of you, my dear friends, Menachem and Usha, for giving me this tremendous privilege for the second time to be part of this amazing, amazing, amazing place of spreading Yiddishkeit worldwide, and it's wrapped so professionally with sensitivity and covering all these wide range of topics over the years. Amazing. And welcome to all the special people who are online joining us for today's session. And as Hashem, hopefully something very special will come out of this. Before I even get into it, I don't consider myself one drop worthy of preaching or teaching others about self-care. I do try to take care of myself, and here is the proof. What I'm doing just right now is self-care. I feel really good about it, and we should all try to do whatever needs we have to fill them, which we'll talk about later. So let's start out with a question, which is a question that I've been asking myself years ago. Have you ever felt like you were living your life on autopilot, day by day, doing what's expected of you? You're trying to meet everyone's needs, ticking all the boxes the best you can, but feeling disconnected from yourself, like you were moving on with life, but not quite living life. If that sounds familiar, you're not alone. Be'ez Hashem, today, right now, we will try to be diving deep into one of the most important journeys we can take. Our journey will not be flying across the globe, but rather we will be focusing inward, the journey to discover our true self. We'll be focusing on four interconnected themes. Number one is discovering who really am I. Beneath the noise, beneath all these expectations and the roles I have. Who is underneath all of those? Number two is embracing self-care, not as a luxury, but as a necessity. And number three is understanding the fine line between healthy self-care and selfishness. And number four, which is the most important, is learning how to find balance. Balance is extremely important because a life without proper balance isn't sustainable. And it certainly isn't joyful. So whether you are a parent, a professional, a caregiver of any kind, or just someone trying to keep up with the pace of life, this is for you and this is for me. We're all in this together. So many of us have been raised to believe that putting ourselves first is selfish. We've been taught to serve, to give, to work hard, to take care of others. And those are beautiful values, but sometimes, without realizing it, we begin to erase ourselves in that process. So you might find yourself sometimes snapping at people you love, feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, and sometimes just even numb emotionally. These are often symptoms of a deeper issue, and that is usually disconnection from yourself. So how do we begin? First, discovering your true self isn't about becoming someone new. Okay? It's about coming home to who you are, to who you already are, the real you. You're just coming home to it. It's peeling back all those layers of the shoulds and I could have and I have to, and turning all of them into to the quiet voice inside that says, this is me, and find that. So it might mean sometimes reconnecting with many things you loved as a child. It might mean listening to your own emotions, your dreams, and sometimes to listen to your discomforts and take them seriously. So this isn't about becoming self-centered or abandoning your responsibilities. It's about integrating your needs into the bigger picture of your life, so you're living with purpose and not living with pressure. So let's talk about self-care. And let's be clear. Self-care is not taking long bubble baths and eating chocolate cake and going on vacations. That's not self-care. The definition of self-care is it's about creating a life you don't feel the need to constantly escape from it, to be at peace with yourself. Sometimes self-care may mean is sometimes self-care is saying no to someone else. And sometimes it's asking for help from someone else. Sometimes it's showing up for a therapy session. And sometimes it's going for a walk, turning off your phone turning on your phone, or just breathing deeply. That's self-care. But what stops most people is guilt. The fear of being selfish. We've been wired to believe that if we take care of ourselves, we're neglecting others. But here's the truth. When you show up for yourself, you actually have a lot more to give. So self-care isn't selfish. It's what allows you to be present in the moment, to be grounded, and to be generous in a healthy way. So, which brings us to balance. Life isn't about that every day is perfectly equal one day to the next, and today is like the day before. A healthy life is about adjusting, fine-tuning, being honest with where you are at the moment, and honoring your limits. Balance means recognizing when it's time to push yourself and when it's time to rest, when it's time to be there for others, and when it's time to nourish your own self. So as we move into the rest of the talk tonight, we're going, Be'ezus Hashem, to explore, we hope to explore how to do just that. I'll try to share some practical tools, real life examples, and simple ways to reconnect with your core self, embrace self-care without guilt, and walk that fine but beautiful line between selfishness and self-worth. So, let's settle in and let's begin the journey that is called Back to You.
Beautiful opening. Okay. Let's get into the polls. Anybody wants to ask a question, please text over here. Asher Parnas. Remember, the live questions will go first. Rabbi Tau was here to answer all the questions. So please don't be embarrassed and join. Okay, here we go. I'm going to do what we did, three question poll tonight. First question. What does self-care mean to you? Okay, it's a personal question. Does it mean taking care of my body? Does it mean taking time to relax, doing things I enjoy, or keeping my mind healthy? Second question. What do you do for self-care? So what is the actual act that you're doing? Number one, exercise or physical activity. Number two, meditate or practice mindfulness. Number three, spend time with family and friends. Number four, pursue a hobby or interest. Third question, what deeper meaning does self-care hold for you? Self-preservation, ensuring my survival and well-being in a demanding world? Or is it self-respect, honoring my worth by prioritizing my needs? Is it self-discovery, using self-care as a tool to learn more about myself and my potential? Or number four, is it healing, addressing past traumas? I'll give you a few seconds to answer, and then we'll share with everybody. Five more seconds. Four, three, two, and one. Okay. First question. What does self-care mean for you? 12% of people feel it means taking care of my body. 18% of people, time to relax. 31% of people, doing things I enjoy. 39% of people, keeping my mind healthy. So people think it's basically doing things I enjoy or keeping my mind healthy. Rabbi Tauber, any comment on this?
I don't think we have to continue tonight. We're all done. They got it.
Second question. What do you do for self-care? So it's pretty split, actually. Exercise or physical activity is number one answer, 36%. 16% meditate or practice mindfulness. 25% spending time with family and friends. 23% pursue our hobby or interest. You know what I would have? Let's look at this. How do you
give us all surprises? Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to discover something new.
Third question. What deeper meaning does self-care hold for you? 40%, the number one answer is self-preservation, ensuring my survival and well-being in a demanding world. 31% honoring my worth by prioritizing my needs. 18% use and self-care as a tool to learn more about myself and my potential. 11% healing, addressing past traumas.
Okay.
Any comments on anything, Rabbi Tauber?
Beautiful. Okay, we have something to do tonight. Good.
Okay, let's start with the first
question. Hopefully we can learn something new.
100%. Okay, first question somebody sent in. I've listened to a few big speakers claiming that the more we think about ourselves, the less happy we are. We should be thinking about others all day. How does that fit with self-care? What's the difference between selfishness and self-care? So the first question is, what's the chilek? We're supposed to do for people, not so be wrapped up in ourselves.
So again, how do you, can you redefine the question?
A lot of people say that we should find more things that, we should, that more that we think about ourselves, the more we think about what we need and what we need, the less happy we're going to be. We should think about others all day and doing for others. How does that fit with self-care? And what's the difference between selfishness and self-care?
Okay.
Right? Again, self-care, in a certain sense, is a means of selfishness at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Why should I go do chesed with somebody or busy with my kids when I could go jogging or I could go to do something that I enjoy? So it's a selfish midah.
Right. Okay. That is the core of our topic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between self-care and selfishness, and why wouldn't doing for others fill my personal need of self-care? Okay. Without getting into the topic of tonight, I just thought of something which I think I should bring up. I didn't think of it before. And that is, there is something called, which I'm sure you all know, a people pleaser. The definition of a people pleaser, which is extremely dangerous, and that is, in order for me to feel good about myself, I have to please someone else. Now, pleasing others is a beautiful thing, and chesed and everything, but a person should be able to, a person should be able to feel good about themselves and self-sufficient with tranquility, shalva sanefesh, even when he doesn't have an opportunity to help someone. If a person is alone somewhere, has no opportunity to do chesed, he should feel good about himself. If a person's essence is dependent on doing for others, he's really not giving anything. And that is where self-care comes in. If I need to give all the time in order to be something, I'm not really doing. I'm not really giving. I'm taking. I really want to feel good about myself, so I'm using another person to feel good. And that's why no one feels good. I don't feel good as a giver because I'm not a giver I'm a taker. And the person who receives is not feeling good because he's not receiving. He may receive a technical thing if I give him money or something, but he won't receive my heart because I'm not giving anything. So when it comes to self-care, we can end the day of running around doing for others. But if my intention was to self-please myself, I just finished the hard day of taking care of myself in a very wrong way. By taking. And obviously we don't feel good at the end of such a day. And that is the proof. When you do a true chesed, a true giving, we feel good about it. If by doing we don't feel good, we don't get the satisfaction we're supposed to get, I didn't give. And self-care is really giving. And you can only give when you're in a healthy state. State of mind, state of body, emotionally, physically. If you're in a healthy state for yourself, you can give. And let's put this down as a foundation for tonight's talk. What I'm saying is not my own. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Beferish pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Hashem gives us a very clear guideline on the whole concept of caring for others. And that is, v'ahavta l'reacha. Love your fellow Jew. Hashem could have said it just that. V'ahavta l'reacha. Love your fellow Jew. But Hashem added the word, kamoich, as you love yourself. That is a guideline, and it's a boundary. It's a limit setting. love someone else as you love yourself. Not more and not less. Not less is a big thing to get to, but not more. If I'm giving to someone more than I'm giving to myself, I'm not really giving. Hashem doesn't want that because you're not giving. It's not healthy. There has to be a healthy kemoichu, and we can never give more than what we have. It's common sense. If I don't have, I can't give. We think we're giving, but we're not giving, we're taking. You can give as much as you have. So the more self-care we have, physically, emotionally, the more we can give. If I neglect myself emotionally or physically, I won't be able to give. You can do it on the short time. You can be up one night in the hospital, two nights in the hospital with someone. At some point, you're going to have to stop. You can't. That is physically. And the same is with emotions. We can't give emotionally to someone more than we give ourselves. If we neglect ourselves emotionally, we won't give anything to someone. We can't love someone if I don't love myself. This is what Hashem tells us, and that is the definition of kemoicha.
To find that fine line between selfishness and self-care, how would we, where would we put the line? How do we know, meaning how do we know when it's already going into that concept of selfishness?
Okay. It depends where you are, who you are. Obviously, there's no one-size-fits-all answer for this question because everybody's different to define that line. It depends on your personality. But you have to really know yourself and where you're coming from and when you find yourself. When you find yourself in a true way, that's when you can really start limit setting on giving for others and only do it in a healthy way. So when it comes to, can I give an example of myself?
Please.
Is that okay? Okay. We all have life stories. I'm sure. Everybody can write a book by themselves. I'm sure. But one of the most beautiful gifts that Hashem can give to a person is to find yourself at some point in your life, to really find your true self at some point in life. And it doesn't matter what age and stage you are. If you're midlife, you can be 30, 40, 70. The main thing is to find the true self. Because the older you are when you find yourself, it's better. Because then you have a lot of life experience how to deal with that difficult person you just found. And it's just much easier when we find ourselves when we're teens. It's very, very difficult to deal with us. Okay. So again, talking about myself, I'm not going to get into to details. I don't think it's appropriate to do it in a public forum, but I happen to be Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave me a tremendous zechus to be the son of a very, very, very special person. My father was Rabbi Zviel Tauber, which was very well, worldwide known. He did a lot in his life. His Yahrzeit is going to be in 2 weeks, Netz Hashem, and Erev Pesach, in 3 weeks, his sixth Yahrzeit. And Baruch Hashem, my mother, Zazan Gesund, 120. Very, very, very special people, very special people. So I had a very, very colorful background. I had a lot to look up to, a lot to imitate. He was a person who literally conquered the world in many ways. In Torah and avoiding with his chassadim, he was a businessman, a lecturer, very, very many hats. The name, to be honest, the last name Tauber for myself was very stressful. To carry that name, wherever I was going, they would ask me, are you a son of Rabbi Zviel? That was heavy. I couldn't do whatever I wanted. I had to watch myself because you had to live up to that role. It wasn't easy. I remember even at one point, I actually made myself a talis back, with a different name. Because I was going to Etz Yisrael, he was very known, so no one would know who I am. It's not easy. So growing up like that, and Hashem gave me my own personality, to have, I call it a large power tank. To use and to fill up, and it's not easy. It wasn't. I really, really struggled as a child and as a teenager to keep that power tank full. I remember doing Chevres Tillim and making a Masmidim. I was 11, 12 years old, and I had a payroll to pay for my own Masmidim that I created for other boys to learn Mishnah. It was very stressful. Believe it or not, I had to cover payroll every week. It was very stressful. It was $1.50, $2, whatever it was, but it was very, very stressful. And I was looking a lot. But later on, Baruch Hashem, we got married, had a very colorful life, Baruch Hashem, and Hashem put me into business at that time in real estate, and Baruch Hashem, with the Mesogim of then, 25, 30 years ago, I was very matzliach, and I was a very, very busy person. My phone was ringing around the clock, and people came to my house, I can talk about it. I have no problem talking about it. But I can tell you one thing. Even though I was extremely busy with Sarchai HaKlal, doing for Klal Yisrael and doing in Baruch Hashem, I don't regret it. I had the Swiss to do. My phone was ringing all the time. Everyone was looking for me. I felt very important. But the fact was, and I'm not afraid to admit it when you get to this point, that all the time there was I called it the baskoil. There was a voice ringing out that you're not in your right place. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Even though from the outside I looked like a ish matzliach, but inside I was not a happy camper. I was not at peace, and it really disturbed me. I had sleepless nights many times, and I remember once I was offered a certain deal, a real estate deal, which was very big, almost eight to nine figures, a very large deal, which I was involved in, and I felt like Warren Buffett at that time. I literally felt I'm conquering the world. But something inside me was screaming, stop. It's not for you. But I had to do it to prove myself that I am something that is not a healthy self-care. I had to prove to be big, to be successful in order to be something. And Baruch Hashem, I can say that deal went sour, and Baruch Hashem, we lost a lot of money in it, and a lot. And Baruch Hashem, as this was going on, that Basco pushed me. And what kept me back from making real changes in my life was that thought, that false machshav of who are you, that fake another, which is totally not coming from a healthy place. I knew that Hashem gave me koiches. I knew that Hashem gave me certain talents, but I didn't have the courage to actually go out and use it. But then circumstances changed and we moved. I'm not going to get into details, but the fact was how Hashem put me in a certain place. And I remember calling up my father. This is about 20 some years ago. And I had a long conversation with him about this topic, about making changes. And he pushed me to go. He told me, go study, learn professional therapy, counseling, do it professional. So for many years, almost 8 to 10 years, I did it. I invested a lot of time and money in it. And Baruch Hashem was matzliach. And I remember all the professors, they would ask me, like, where were you? Like, you're showing up. I had a few white hair already in my beard. Like, where were you until now? Where did you hide? What happened? Usually no one shows up at this age. But I used to sing the famous song, I used to sing it. I was so hidden, a hester betoch hester inside myself, just pushing down myself, that I was afraid to come out. I remember, I'll share with you something very interesting. We lived at that time, we had a porch coming out of our dining room. We lived one flight up, and there was a porch on our dining room, and we left for the summer. We were away for like 8 weeks. And when we came back, my kids came running and tell me, look, there's a nest of birds, dove birds, right on the porch, because there was no movement, so they made a nest right in front of our door. Going out, we were looking out the window, it was right in front of us. It was the parents, I don't know who was the father, who the mother, I don't know, but there were two parents and two little doves. They were already running around when we got home. And one morning, my daughter comes running to me and tells me, Tati, one dove is missing. Only one is left. It flew away, I guess. And then I went looking, I actually captured it. I had a video, I took a video of it. I saw the parent, I don't know who it was. It was one flight up. So the railing around the porch, it had like a little gap on the bottom where you can fall off like a little thing. The parent of this little baby opened its wings and pushed that little birdie to the edge so it has to fall off and start flying. And that little baby was running back and didn't want, was afraid and kept on doing it until the parent, whoever it was successful, pushed it off. I saw it flying away. That was the end. When I saw that, I remember I got the goosebumps. I said, wow, that is so powerful. This is what we're supposed to do. When our children grow up, push them off the cliff. Obviously, you have to know that they're ready to fly. That is the hard question. How do you know when they're ready? But when you know your child has a talent, push them off, push them into it. And this is, I give a lot of credit to my father because he pushed me in a lot. And then in the last many years, 15, 20 years, Baruch Hashem, I got more into, but the main thing was finding your true self, starting to do something that really gives you satisfaction. So unfortunately, my sleeping at night is not too much better, but for different reasons. Unfortunately, we hear so much during the day that it's hard to sleep at night, but there is a lot of satisfaction. And this is something we have to focus on to move forward.
That could be very scary. The changing, first seeing what you really want to do, seeing yourself in a different place, and then being able to say, you know what, let me make that change. And especially if it's a job, it's something big, that could be hard. I don't know if that's where we want to start with self-care.
No, I specifically went to the extreme of changing your lifestyle, or not lifestyle, changing your career, which at midlife can be very, very difficult, even though it's the best thing that ever happened in my life. But yes, it's not so simple, and you need a lot of support, which Baruch Hashem I had from my dear wife and my family, but it's not easy. It's not easy. But whatever we do, when we come to this point in life, we need to stop and pause and take a little bit of time, look back and to really to think deep, like what did I do in my world? I have many years behind me. Did I accomplish anything? How does my relationship with my wife, with my husband look like? How is my relationship with my kids? What's my relationship with my parents? What's my relationship with my in-laws, my boss, my employees, my grandkids, my son-in-law, daughter-in-law? We all have connections, relationships. What is that like? So to take a moment and stop, look back, reflect, and think of the things that you already did in your life. What gave me satisfaction? What did I learn? Something that I felt that this is giving me a purpose in life. It goes with everything. It doesn't have to be changing a job. What is really important to me? Is everything that I'm doing on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, does it really give me satisfaction, or am I just stuck on a highway and I don't even think that I have an opportunity to change? I'm just thinking, I don't give myself the option even to change. So when we really focus on that, all of a sudden we can sometimes notice that the biggest fear we have of change is not that I'm not good, not that I am not able of doing it, and not that I'm incapable. The biggest fear we have is that we see that I do have the capability of doing. Yes, I do have, Hashem gave me tremendous koiches to do certain things, and people are afraid of that. It's our light that we're scared of, not our darkness. That is usually what stops us from moving forward. We're shining too much and we're afraid of that. Why? Why am I afraid to uncover whatever qualities Hashem gave me? Why am I afraid to use the koyches that Hashem gave me? Could be I'm afraid to use it because I'm embarrassed from the people around me, because they will feel less worthy if I shine, so I'm protecting them. Sometimes you can have a sibling, you can have a neighbor, you can have a friend, that you're afraid to use your own strengths because they'll tell you, who are you? And sadly, many times it can be a parent that will tell a child, who are you? And we're embarrassed and we're afraid. So say to, I'm telling myself,
Kol HaLashon,
I need to close my light. So because others have a hard time looking at it, let them put on sunglasses. Why do I have to live in the dark? Because they cannot take my light. And this goes in every direction. But many times we feel that I have to do something to show to others that I can do whatever I want. And how do I show it that I can do whatever I want? When I actually am doing something that I don't want to do. I really don't want to do it. I can live a lifestyle that I really don't want. I know it's not good for me. It doesn't give me anything. But I'm only doing it because I want to show to someone else. So now is the time to stop at any moment in life and reflect that, yes, I can do what I want. I can do what I can because I want to. And if someone else is going to think because you're doing it because you have to do it or whatever it is, let them enjoy it. I'm not going to punish myself to do something that I don't want, so someone else is going to think something about me. If I can just add in 2 minutes something that I just had last week with a boy, a teenager. Very interesting. He's a 17-year-old boy, and he's in yeshiva. And he had a very hard time with the mashgiach in the yeshiva about getting up in the morning on time, showing up late to seder, shacharis, whatever it was. And actually, when he showed up to learn, he was didn't want to learn, whatever it was. So I asked him, and he kept on. This was a power struggle between him and the mashgiach of the yeshiva. So I asked this boy, tell me honestly, do you sometimes have cheshek, a desire to learn? Does that happen once in a while? He said, yes. So I told him, are you learning then? He said, no way. I'm not going to learn because the mashgiach is going to think I'm learning because of him. I'm not going to give him this pleasure. So I said, stop. Pause for a minute. What did you just do? You want to learn and you're not learning because someone else is going to think you're learning because of them. So who is punishing you? Who is controlling you? Who is locking you up in your own prison? You are doing this. You're putting your own handcuffs on yourself because of someone else. So he's going to think it's because of him. Let him enjoy it. You need to do what you need to do, what you can do. And that is pure self-care, meaning taking care of yourself in any shape from one extreme. We'll go in soon to more details in a practical way, how to do self-care on a lower level. Taking bubble bath, okay? That is the easiest self-care to do. So we'll leave that for the last when we're tired. But in the beginning, we all have moments in our lives that we don't take care of ourselves, not because we can't, because we're afraid of our image, we're just afraid of our own powers. And we need to do that. It could be anything. Okay. That was a short answer.
Amazing. We're done. Oshi, live question.
Any questions? Or because
somebody's done a question. Okay, sorry, Wastada.
Hi. I love that topic.
Hi.
What about those of us, sometimes we get locked into like a survival mode that's hard to get out of? I mean, we still have mundane concerns, paying the rent, doing, you know, family members to take care of. I mean, you know, it's not that I don't know how you reconcile that, but it's, you may feel dissatisfied, but it's, the certain, it's not always easy to find the time or even the money or resources, let alone your own inner confidence. I mean, how do you get out of that mentality?
Can you be a drop more specific? Give me one example.
Yeah, as I said, I'd love to spend more time doing more creative things, but for example, I work 2 jobs. I'm grateful to be working, but I'm saying that, is this what I really want to do? down the road, but it's not an easy thing to break. You know, just my two cents. I
Look, yeah. Self-care is not always changing our careers because it's not up to us. Like you just, it's just not feasible and possible many times. But self-care can be in between the two jobs to take a deep breath and appreciate yourself, appreciate who you are. I'm not talking about all the good that Hashem is giving us. That is something else.
Yeah.
I'm talking about self-care, meaning that we have to stop for a moment of doing and start being, like Menachem said in the beginning. We have to be beers, not doers. Our to-be list has to be longer than our to-do list. Mm-hmm. That's what I always say. Always. If our to-do list becomes bigger than our to-be, we're not going to end up good because we can't deal with that.
No, and I go back and forth feeling grateful, or I look back on things that I've done, but there is that still that feeling of dissatisfaction. But it's, yeah, I don't know how to break out of, you know, or where to take the step, or, you know, I don't know, perhaps I should maybe talk to a mentor or somebody like that.
Many times the person...
mental clarity.
That's right. I mean, this is more of a lengthy thing, but basically, when a person is in a job, like you said, you have two jobs or something, to really get self-care and satisfaction, sometimes all we need to do is do something small on the side, a certain project that doesn't take much time. Satisfaction. The self-care doesn't have to happen 24/7. We can't do it. We have a life to live. But as long as you remember, your question that you just asked is self-care. Mm-hmm. You took care of yourself by asking this question. Okay. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
That is also self-care.
Yeah.
And also, I would add, being aware, like you're saying, being aware of I'm in a place where I don't want to be, that is being aware of yourself. And then you can ask yourself, you know, maybe one day it'll change. I don't know. But as of now, what do I need? What do I need? Maybe something small to help me in this situation that can make me feel a little bit better. It can be something small. But
let's say, would it be harmful to maybe compare yourself to other, or look at other people, say, look where they're going, or should I, you know, it's hard to find people to emulate when I say, well, but this just isn't me. I don't think I can do what they do, or I don't have the personality or whatever, so-and-so could do something, but they're in a different situation than I am.
I think comparing is never good for self-care. Because it's not you if you're comparing to others, but you could be inspired by something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And when you're inspired, you say, wait, maybe one day I would love to do that. Write it down and put it on the sides. I'm not sure when, but at least you're aware that.
It's true. That's true. Yeah.
Someone asked, on the chat, like, is helping yourself considered chesed? Okay, and that is so true. I mean, it's helping yourself. Why is it even a question? I mean, the first Jew I knew was myself, and the same is with all of us. And it's the first and the last one we'll always know. Sure, we have to take care of ourselves is also chesed. That's kamoicha that Hashem is telling us in the Torah. Sure, we need to do chesed with ourselves. So whatever we do, whatever you do, is taking care of ourselves is pure chesed.
Let's go to the next question over here. Isn't it obvious that we need to take care of ourselves? So beyond the basic stuff, like it's obvious we need to take care of ourselves. So beyond the basic stuff, what specific things do you do for self-care that really makes a difference for your well-being? Like, I think a lot of people run into this problem where, like, yeah, go to every therapist, go to self-care, every speech, your self-care. It's like more of a tagline than actually what it is. What I'm trying to say is, I think people don't know what self-care is. They view self-care as going to sleep early one night or eating a piece of food. Like, what is it? What is somebody, besides the basic stuff, obviously sleeping 8 hours and going to work and paying your bills, what is self-care or self-awareness? What does that mean? Explain it, like, more in detail.
Okay.
I'm going to explain it maybe better, because I feel like from what I'm trying to say is that people more get into the routine of either taking care of their kids or a matzah or somebody's sick or their caretaker. And they get so wrapped into becoming a caregiver that it's almost, there's no space for themselves to take care of themselves. So when they do taking care of themselves, it's more like, okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes now. I'll go to sleep early. Like, they're not understanding that connection of what makes them feel happy and good, like when they were a child.
Oh, here you go. Okay. That is a beautiful point. There's a few tips that we can use in a very practical way. What self-care is all about is, number one, what you just said, Elsher, and that is to just pause and stop. That many times in the state and the age where I am today, could be there are many things that I'm doing on a day-to-day or week-by-week basis that for a few years ago, it was important for me. And it's no longer worth anything. I'm not getting anything out of it. Certain habits, certain things we were doing a few years ago, it doesn't give me anything. It doesn't help me. It's like I would sit down on the floor and play with cars when I was doing when I was 3 and 5. It didn't, at that time, it gave me a lot of satisfaction. I enjoyed it, but today it won't. So it's important, first of all, to set new goals as we grow in life. Goals that fit with what's important for me now. When we change roles, we become parents, grandparents, whatever positions we hold. Or just later, we have to set new goals. We can't be stuck as a robot just running our lives and expecting to get the same satisfaction that I got a few years ago from the same action. Because we're changing. So we need to keep on changing. That is part of self-care, is to notice my changes, notice that I'm growing, and go along with that. And the second point is, don't be afraid to do certain things that could be in the past you were afraid to do. Could be anything. Could be as a simple example. Could be in the past you were afraid to talk in public, to speak at a Sheva Brachas, to speak at a Simcha. Could be in the past as a teenager. Could be you were afraid to learn new things, to go to a certain shiur, to take a course on something, to learn something that you had an interest, to make certain changes in your home. Could be in the past we had certain fears. Hello, we're different. We're changing. Go along with it. You don't have to do today or not do today what in the past scared you. Try it. You'll find out that, wow, you have new koichas today. You're a different person. You have more courage today. We don't even try. That is, again, that is a form of self-care, which affects in many different of lives. To walk up to a person, start a conversation, negotiate a deal, anything. Who am I? No, you are something. You can do it now. Don't be afraid of change. Because life brings us to new places, to new matzavim, to new positions. The fact that I'm flexible about myself to adapt to all these new positions that Hashem is putting me in helps me to get used to those and figure out what can I do in this new place. Don't be stuck with the old one. I always say that for thousands of years, to light up our homes at night, we use candles. And I'm sure, I wasn't there, but I'm sure that throughout these thousands of years, there were many creative Elon Musks that came up with grand ideas how to make better candles that burn longer, smell better, look better, don't drip. I'm sure there were many, many inventions in candles. Another patent, all that stuff. Until one person came and decided, his name was Thomas Edison, instead of improving a better candle, he started something new completely. He invented the electric bulb. And that changed the entire universe from candles to bulbs. All he needed is, instead of staying stuck in the past and making better of it, no, you can change. Don't be afraid. Start doing something new. The fact you couldn't do it a year ago doesn't mean you can't do it today. Don't be stuck in the past. Starting out from something new is not a sign that you're a failure. We're afraid to start something new because, oh, okay, if I'm starting something new today, that means until now I failed. No, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of courage, of health. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. The Torah tells us there's a mitzvah in the Torah, v'nishmarta me'od l'nafshe saifem. It's a mitzvah to take care of ourselves. It's the same mitzvah, and Hashem, we're going to be zocher to eat matzah in a few weeks, and all other mitzvahs that we do, we need to take care of ourselves. It's a chiyuv daras, it's one of the tayag mitzvahs. And when, as we get older, our bodies are starting to start sending us certain messages. And we need to listen to those messages. That is also part of self-care. I'm sure there's a lot of Yiddish mamas that are listening. It takes, raising a family, giving birth to children, it takes it all. It's a tremendous achrayas to take care of yourself. Yes, when I was a teenager, I was young in the 20s, I couldn't care less what I ate, everything was fine. As we get, part of self-care is, when we grow older, we have to be careful what we eat, that we sleep properly, to do exercise, to take care of our weight. All of that is part of self-care. And the most important, I'm not going to say most important, but equally important, is to take care of our emotional health. But as we grow older in life, there could be many things in a person's life that are really stressful. Could be between husband and wife, between parents and children. We have our business stresses. We can't ignore the stress. There's no way we can ignore it. And yes, if we need to speak to someone, that is a question that many ask. How do I know when I need to reach out to ask someone else? If you feel that you're under stress and you cannot come to terms with it, or you don't come up with solutions how to take, to live with the stress, we can't eliminate stress. It's part of life. The only person who doesn't have stress is a dead person. Maybe they have stress upstairs. I don't know. But this world, a live person has stress. So we can't ignore that. So we need to talk to someone. Our brain is way, way too precious that we shouldn't give it the care that it deserves. This is who we are. The Al Tashlichayni La'ez Zikno is the brain. Our body, Hashem should help all of us. We should be healthy physically, but emotionally, this is the person. Kizeh Kol Adam is our brain. And we need to take care of it. Stress, if it's stress, pain, all of that, that's self-care. Don't ignore. We can't ignore pain. Hashem is sending it. Pain comes straight from Hashem. Suffering is self-chosen. What we do with the pain, we have a choice over. We don't have choice over the pain, but we can choose what to do with the pain. Will I fall apart from it? My father told once, he went to be Menachem Oval, someone who never, a child passed away before Islam. So a family member. So my father told the person who was sitting Shiva, he said, look, whatever happened, happened. We can't turn back. It's a fact. There's only two choices that you have. Either you shape up from it, or you crack up from it. Those are the only two options. You can't change the facts. When we have stresses, pain, we can grow from it, or chas v'shalom fall from it. That is another form of self-care, is to take care of our present stresses, and it keeps on changing. To strengthen our relationships that we have. We all have relationships with our spouses, with our children, with people who really give me something that is important in my life. We have to let go of the social society that doesn't give me anything today. It could be it gave me something years ago, but if we're stuck in the same social lifestyle that doesn't give me anything, it just hurts me. And it actually takes away myself from myself. They're stealing me. They're not interested in seeing you in a better place. So as we grow older, part of self-care is surround yourself with people that will give you satisfaction. Rachni is their satisfaction. Gashmi is their satisfaction. People who really want to see you in a good place. I always suggest to parents who, Baruch Hashem, we're all busy with kids. Please, we need to take once a week for a few minutes. It doesn't have to be long, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. But we need to take once a week a few minutes to take off that hat of father and mother, of parents, put back on the hat of husband and wife. In those few minutes, there are two conditions to it. You cannot talk about kids, and you cannot talk about money. This 15 to 30 minutes, you can only talk between yourselves what you spoke in the Yichud Shtivl, or maybe in Shabbat Brachos. There were no kids, there was no money issue, usually. This is what you need to reconnect us as people. That is a tremendous self-care that we need to do to each other as spouses to be in healthy relationships. As we grow older, Chas v'Shalom, we can grow apart in a good way because we're so busy for others that we forget ourselves. And to accept ourselves, that is the final point, which I think is in a practical way, to really accept ourselves with all my chesroiness, with all my malice, all my good parts, all my weak parts, accept yourself and use and live with this koiches that Hashem gave me. Just use that to live with the truth, to live with the emes, and not to be afraid to let go of something that I know is not emesdik. Something that you know is not emesdik, let go of it. We're so used to it because we grew into it. Today it's not giving me anything and I'm stuck in it. And it's hurting me. We have to move on. And if any one of us, and Hashem gives us the clarity, when as we grow older, when we look back in our lives, no matter what, if it means I lost my job, or I had to move, or my friend let go of me, or all these hardships that a person can go through in life, at that moment we felt that I lost something so good. But with time, we see that actually Hashem brought us to a better place, if we do it with the self-care. Yes, it's not easy. Self-care can be going against yourself sometimes, because we're going against our own habits. It's like an airplane. An airplane, in order for an airplane to take off, it needs to go against the wind. Always, in order to take off. Not with them, you have to go against. When we see in our lives struggles, stresses, this is an opportunity to really do self-care. And that means, this shows us that we are on a runway to take off, to take care of ourselves.
Amazing. So you mentioned before, again, that it's people are busy. Here's a question. I'm a mother of seven with a full-time job, and as you can imagine, things get pretty hectic. I've been trying to figure out how to manage it all, but honestly, I just don't have much time, and especially not for self-care. What are some practical ideas? What somebody that's so busy, what could they do?
Okay. It's hard to get into real practical ideas because I would have to move into that house for a while to really get to know the whole family. It's hard to say it. But when a person says, I don't have time, especially for self-care, what does that mean? Why it should be the other way around? Especially for self-care means I'm the last on the list, where we should be the first on the list. And that is the emes. Once someone told me, a mother told me that she needs to take a 15-minute nap in the afternoon. She has to. So she usually goes into her bedroom, locks the door for 15 minutes, and the kids are playing, and she has a lot of big children also. And once one of her children came knocking on the door and says, Mommy, what are you doing there? She answered, I'm making a mommy. That is so true. That is self-care. That should be the number one on the list. I mean, if you really understand the benefit of self-care, that those 15 minutes of resting creates 23 hours and 45 minutes of a healthy mother. Isn't it worth it? So the potatoes won't be mashed. It will be cut in squares. Okay, we can survive on that, but there's a healthy mother. Self-care shouldn't be the last one on the list. Like, I don't have time for anything, especially for self-care. If self-care means selfish, that is a good question. But self-care has nothing to do with selfishness. It's just the opposite. In order for me to be able to give, to take care, put yourself first. You'll find out how much more you can do, the more you can give.
So, also, if we can discuss what are some very small practical ideas that can help us understand the concept of self-care. It's like an example, I would mention, buy yourself a coffee, and then somebody would tell me, well, I do that every day anyways. So, you know, even doing a small act, sometimes it's part of your routine. So you're not even aware that you're buying yourself a coffee. You're not aware that you drank it. You're running and you're busy and you didn't stop to say, wait, what's going on? Just setting that intention, you know what? Let me go get myself. Let me go do this. And you have to slow down to be able to actually take it in. Fill yourself up, you know, your emotional bank accounts.
100%. The same coffee, instead of making yourself a coffee in the morning and it's sitting on the counter and you run around doing errands in the home, this and that, and you, as you run by your coffee, you take a sip and you keep on running, sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and take care of yourself. Have a coffee. That is, it's the same coffee. It's not the drinking the coffee. It's how and when you do it. It's the mindset that is the self-care. Yes, I deserve to rest for a few minutes. It's okay. And that is in a very physical way. But it's the physical and it's the emotional. The emotional.
That's a powerful word you used. I deserve.
Yes, extremely powerful. I deserve.
I'm trying to figure out why is it so hard for many people to connect to the concept of self-care. Why? It's too hard for them to actually practice or understand.
That's ingrained in I call it Yiddish guilt. It's deeply ingrained in us. I don't know, other machaber must have been the most, I don't know, they were probably sitting in therapy all day because we're all descendants of them and everything is coming from them. So I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but that Yiddish guilt of I'm not supposed to take care of myself. And especially Yiddish mamas, it's so ingrained that you put our children before ourselves, and it's simply against Torah. We're not allowed to do it. Forget about the fact that we can't do it. We're just not successful in doing it. We're falling apart. But we're not allowed to do it. We need to really, self-care is actually because I want to be healthy, because I want to give, I want to be able to help others. I need to take care of myself. Then you come out and you can do whatever you need to do. But we're so wired, I said it in the beginning, our brains are wired that we need to do and do and do and do and do for others. And Baruch Hashem, we have beautiful chesed organizations in our communities, which is unbelievable. And before Mashiach comes, yeah, B'chol Choisman with the Midah of Avraham Avinu of chesed. But we have to remember, I always said the first chesed organization should be inside yourself, not in your home. Because even in your home, you have to take care of yourself. We all have to have our own hachnas asarachim inside ourselves, a little hachnas asarachim, a little bikkur cholim, a little hachnas askala sometimes, feeding the poor, feeding the hungry. You know how many mothers run around hungry in their own homes, in their own kitchens? Everybody's eating, having a good time, and they run around hungry. How about feeding a poor Yiddish neshama? Happens to be yourself. Take care of her. She deserves it. Say it to yourself. I deserve it. I deserve it just as someone else. I really do. And that is healthy.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's jump into this next question that we sent in. My kids, my spouse, they depend on me. Everybody around me depends on me, but it breaks me inside. How can I practice self-care without letting them down? Like, a person that's so orangutan in somebody else, because that's whatever. Again, I asked this question again before, but I'm asking it again, a different version. A lot of women or sometimes people are just so involved. They're running, they're coming, they're doing so much for Yenim that they become so involved in other people's life, even their kids. So how do they stop that and like really take care of themselves? How does it work? Like the process. They tell the kids, okay, tonight, I'm sorry, mommy's not going to be home. Mommy's going out tonight, or like, play it out. You know, somebody who's always there and is always doing and coming in, making the lunches and making them supper and coming in. They have this organization Monday night and this Thursday night. How do they say, I'm sorry, I need time for myself? How do you put that down?
Okay. In a practical way, the number one question I'll ask back is when you make a list of all the people that are dependent on you, like you started the question, I have so many people are depending on me. Okay? How's my kids? 7 kids, I think you said. On that list, I'm going to give you a list. Write down who is dependent on you. Is your name on the list? you put yourself down as a dependent on yourself. If your name is missing from that list, it's not okay. Not only if it's missing, your name should be number one on the list of dependents. Because you can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself.
Like, people can't even process the concept of, like, what do I need for myself? Like, what do I really need? Oh, I need this one night, I go to sleep early. But not understanding that time that I need to dedicate, this is for me, this is for my, this is highly to me, just like I go to Davin, or I go to my Daf Yomi, this time, whatever it is, once a week, or at night, or in the morning, that time is, like, special to you, because you need that for yourself.
Exactly. This is in a very practical way, how to do it. But first, accept the concept that you are dependent on yourself. That's, without that, nothing will ever happen, because even if you set a time once a week to go out to take care of yourself, whatever it is, if you're not on the list, you'll fall off the list quickly because all the others will take it away from you. So you need to put yourself number one. That's kamoichu. Number two is your husband or wife. Then come the kids. This is how the Torah sets it up. Now, obviously, parents, healthy parents, will take care of their kids before they take care of themselves many times. That's normal, obviously. But
they have to change, like you're saying, they have to change the way you look at it. Most
exactly.
People look at it as selfish. So, you know what? Let me take care of everybody because that's why I'm on this world and that's what Hashem wants from me. I should just take care of everybody else and not myself. That's one way of looking at it.
Right.
What we're learning now is that if you really want to take care of your kids, if you really want to take care of your spouse and be there for them, the only way you'll be able to do it is if you learn this new concept that we're sitting here and discussing. It's being able to say, I want to be there for my kids and I will do it for my kids. I'll do that self-care for my kids. I'll do self-care for my spouse. So I'm learning self-care so that I can be there for them physically and emotionally. Because if you don't understand what self-care is for yourself, then you're probably going to continue the cycle. And they will have to sit and listen to this Coach Menachem and say, oh, my mother couldn't do it for herself. And she was always, you know, she was selfless. So I also have to be selfless. And then they're plotting and they have to learn this new concept. So might as well let us be the ones to say, wait a second, wait, what's he saying? I can change it.
Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Sorry. I'm talking to myself. Yes, we can. We can all do that. The capital I, finally in a healthy version. And that is what we need to look at ourselves by taking care of myself. Just let's visualize that image. An extremely busy home with kids. It's supper time. Now you have, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 kids running around. The mother is stressed out preparing everything for the whole day. She didn't have a chance to sit down since 7 in the morning. She's tired, hungry, emotionally drained. Now the kids run around and she's giving, right? She's trying to give to the kids. Or the father shows up at the cider table, Mirz Hashem, all stressed out from the pre-Pesach preparations, all stressed emotionally, physically, and all with the intention to give our kids, right? The kids, right? Now, any little trigger will explode us. And are they really getting anything? Yes, they got a piece of chicken, but with an extreme bitter aftertaste. Or I have the choice, you know what? I'll take care of myself. I'll take a nap for a few minutes or I'll go out for a walk and maybe supper will be ready 15 minutes later. Maybe the Seder night will look a drop different, but I'll be all smiles. I'll be emotionally present and be able to tolerate, to accept my kids. At the end of the day, the kids will walk away. They got something and they'll remember it for life. It really plays out. When we're taking care of ourselves, it's not just nice talk. It really makes us give better. Be better parents, be better spouses to our spouses, be better neighbors, be better employees, bosses, wherever we are. It just makes us a better person when we show up as a self. If I show up as a shattered person, Achi Leifa, the other person on the other side, who looks at me and says, whoa, who is this? Like, go to sleep. So take self-care. It is so the opposite of selfish. And we need to just go through this like 10 times a day in the beginning for sure, because I'm taking care of a Yiddish kid. Happens to be myself. Happens to be. So I'm a kind of person. That's true. But it's not selfish.
I think it's really a shrach and a mindset. I think like people just, they miss that screw. You know, they understand for Yenem, but for themselves they can't, yeah? Let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Hi. Hi. So, first of all, thank you for this message with the bird that was pushed to the edge.
Yes.
I'd like that. So I don't know where to start, but I feel like you spoke about talking to someone. I feel like I have no one to talk to, only Hashem. I took courses. I tried Rabbunim, Rebbetzins, therapists. And after so many years of really trying and really working hard and kind of had a family and a struggling marriage, I'm separated now and I feel hurt and stuck and I feel like there's something in me that's bursting to do something. And I feel stuck and I feel like I'm learning Emin and Betochen and I'm begging Hashem to like help me. Just, I feel like there's something in me that needs to, I don't know, get out. I have no idea. The words you were saying just felt so, so true.
Thank you. It's not my words. It's the Torah. So it's easy.
I love the Torah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the English version of the Torah. So that's all it was. But look, what you mentioned, I can offer you a very, very special person you can talk to.
And
the good part is that she's available 24/7 to you. Look in the mirror.
Myself.
Look in the mirror and talk to her. You won't believe who you're going to find. I don't know if you've ever tried it.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. You see? Many times that is self-care. I don't know who I am. You can talk to yourself. I'm telling you, she's a very nice person. She'll encourage you. She'll comfort you. She'll always understand you. Never criticize you. Once you get to know her, once you really get to know her, and that is healthy. You'll save a lot of time and money. You can do it in your own home. Always available. And they're the most professional.
Wow.
Save a lot of money.
What did you say?
You'll save a lot of money, you said. Yes?
Yeah, you better believe it.
You'll save a lot of money and get the best advice. It really works. But once you discover the true self, Hashem gave us all the solutions to every situation we're in. We just have to find and uncover all these layers that cover it. But once we uncover those layers, we find our own solutions, the best.
Can you give me like a short step-by-step thing how to do this?
I don't know. Is this the time to do a session? I don't know. I have to ask the bosses. It's gonna take time. But that's the end goal. What I told you is the end goal where a person can get to and not so difficult.
So who can help me?
I would just add, be there, go to the mirror, be there, just like you're listening to a good friend pull you up and complain about her situation. How would you be there for your good friend? And imagine yourself listening to that good friend and saying everything that's on your mind and listen to it and just listen and be there. You're not going to try to fix it. You're not going to try to give it ideas. You're just going to say, I'm here for you. That's a good friend.
Sounds easy.
It is. I would say it's, people say it's easier said than done, but it's easier done when said.
Wow.
When you keep on saying it over and over again, it's easier done.
And this is really the ultimate self-care. It's really taking care of yourself. But if you're not connected with yourself, how can you take care of yourself? You're in a situation where you really know what's going on and you're pushed to the wall, and for you to be able to listen to yourself and be there for yourself. And then eventually you could say, you know what could I do for myself to make the situation a little bit easier? I can't change what's going on, but maybe I can go out with a friend. Maybe I can do this. You're connecting with yourself, and this is ultimate self-care.
Very true. I once said that the last week's parsha, the kiyor in the Mishkan, was made of the mirrors. We all know that the Jewish woman used in Mitzrayim. This is how Klal Yisrael was built. Rashi brings the whole Medrash, how it was used. And the kiyor was used to cleanse, to wash the Kahanim. And that was the mirror. For a person to cleanse themselves, really, is look yourself in the mirror. A mirror is a very powerful tool. I'm not saying everybody, all of us should go watch, look ourselves in the mirror all day, but it's very powerful to look at ourselves. It doesn't have to be a physical mirror, but to really talk to ourselves and see ourselves and talk to that person. That is really a very deep level of self-care, because you know yourself so well. You know exactly what to say and what not to say. You don't want to trigger that person. You don't want to get that person upset. I'm talking about yourself. So you know exactly what to say. And that is very powerful. That is very healthy.
I want to mention there's a book. It's called The Mirror Work.
Oh.
Very interesting book. And it tells you to sit in front of the mirror, and it gives you every day what to say for 30 days. I've seen the book.
Who's the author?
Lewis Hayes.
Oh yeah, I have some of her books.
So go try it out and let me know how it goes.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. So thank you very much. You mentioned in the intro that we shouldn't get bothered by people's judgments. If I, on a personal level, if I overcame people's judgments, and of course it's always a struggle up and down, but I think I could handle it and I could take it out of my system. But I guess I have some beliefs around the fact that other people's thoughts or judgments have powers, maybe, or maybe it's more real than I think. I guess I'm probably bordering on like ayin hara, and probably because of those beliefs, I find myself trying to downplay, or I'm afraid of success because of people's thoughts, not so much judgments personally, but more like as if I and Hara or people's judgments have something more real to it. Maybe if the rabbi could discuss what I and Hara is and where this comes into play, or if my beliefs are totally screwed up and just my imagination.
Hey, I don't think we should go into the whole concept of ayin hara. It's a very, very big concept and has very many facets to it. And it's quite complicated what we have to be concerned about, what not. But if I understood you well, the real core of your question is not ayin hara. It's the core of the question was that when a person is being criticized or said something, especially if it's by people with authority or people are supposed to love me and care for me, if they say it, or a close friend, after a while, if it happens more than once, we actually start believing it. And that is the real core of the issue. that we, as much as I got over the painful part, but the belief of my essence, who am I, is still there. And that is something we need to actually use. You know, the Sfarim bring that every midah, every character Hashem gives us should be used for the good. So where do we use the midah of apikarsis? And that is, sometimes we need to be apikarsis to another person. Like, you're wrong. I just don't believe a word you said. We don't have to believe everything other people tell us. Now, obviously, we need to use our brains. We have to be careful because who we believe, who we don't. But if someone hurt you and whatever...
Doesn't believe in you,
then I would say the number one proof is that this person doesn't know you. How can someone believe in you if they don't know you? Okay?
Maybe it's jealousy, and maybe I'm afraid of jealousy.
Okay, it could be anything, but it's your pain, but it's their problem. It's not your problem that they are jealous. It's your pain. It's painful when someone is jealous at you. It's painful because no one likes to be surrounded with people who are jealous of me. But it's painful, but I don't have a problem. I'm okay. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I can go on with life. That person.
So other people's judgment or jealousy, it doesn't have any meaning. It's just the other person's problem, and that's where it stays. It's not in any way scary to incite that without trying to incite it, but just sometimes through life, it just comes up.
You're right. It's the other person's pain. When someone puts you down, that means, in other words, that person is going through a hard time, and by putting you down, it makes them feel better. I always give, there are many mothers here, I'm sure our fathers, I always give this, it's advice, this is the only piece of advice that I give, and it's 100% guaranteed, if not, you get your money back. If someone, when your child comes to you, and it could be for adults also, but when someone complains to you about a friend who's putting me down, saying nasty things to me, there is something you can say to that friend that is 100% guaranteed they will never do it again. That is, when that person tells you something about you negative, and you don't get upset, and you can even put your hands around the other person, and you look in their eyes with soft spoken voice, and you say, look, I can see you going through a hard time. Something is bothering you. And by you saying this to me, putting me down, it makes you feel better. I get it. It's okay. I hope you feel better now. And I want to tell you that in the future, if you ever feel down again, you can come back and say whatever you want to me. As long as you're going to feel better, I'm so happy to do this chesed with you. They will never come back to you. And if they put you down right away, what therapist told you to say that? Mm-hmm. You say, that's true. I hope you feel better for that too. Whatever they're going to say is, and that is the truth. That is their expression of pain. If someone is jealous, jealousy is an expression of being empty, lacking something it doesn't belong to them. That is jealousy. So they're going through a hard time. They're just pouring it out on you. So if you want to do chesed, just be nice to them. Just say refuah shlema. I mean, don't say it loud. But this is really what they need. They're not in a good place. But it doesn't reflect on you. You are still who you are, and we just move on.
I guess right. So we don't have to take that into account at all.
No.
Thank you.
It's because it's not about me. It's about them.
That's another question people should ask themselves. What is it that I'm not doing because of other people?
Right. That was a little bit part of my question, yeah.
Become aware.
I'll avoid.
People should become aware of all the things they're not doing because of the people around them. And then eventually realize that it's not really them. They're on their journey. You're on yours. Go take care of yourself and enjoy life.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Yep.
Here's a question, a little bit going down to the... Let me just say, I'm constantly busy with work and family, But I find that whenever I do take a break, I want to take some self-care, I feel even more anxious than when I'm working. Can you explain why this might be happening and suggest ways I might be able to truly relax during my downtime?
Yeah, that is extremely common. It's in the beginning stages of self-care, it can be sometimes extremely frightening to find yourself, to be alone, because we're so used to running away from ourselves, running away by engaging in activity, technology, or doing chesed with others. As long as if our doing is based on running away from ourselves, that means I never meet myself. I don't know who I am. And that is very, very frightening sometimes when you start, all of a sudden you find yourself alone, sitting and thinking and talking to yourself. It's a stranger. How comfortable do you feel if I'll set you up with a stranger and talk to that stranger the most deepest secrets of your life? It's not comfortable. We're afraid of that. And sometimes that stranger is myself. I'm afraid to admit to myself who I really am, my real needs, my fears, my downfalls, my good parts, my bad parts. We're afraid of ourselves. We're strangers to ourselves. So it takes a little bit of time to get to know each other. Do it slowly. Take him out for a drink. Take him out for a good piece of cake. Take care of him or her, of yourself. Get to know that person. And the more comfortable we get with ourselves, all of a sudden we can have conversations. And I always say, Baruch Hashem, to the cell phones today. And in the old days, if you were talking to yourself, they would admit you to a psych ward. But Baruch Hashem, with cell phones and now with earbuds, you can actually walk in the streets and talk to yourself. No one's going to look at you like you're a weirdo. So it's fine. We can really have conversations, not just in thinking. We can actually talk to ourselves. It's fine. It's very powerful. Words are very, very powerful, not just thinking. There's a reason why Hashem put the mouth between the brain and the heart. It's connecting the emotions and our brain. It's very, very powerful when we say the words.
Also, perfectionism many times can make that you should have a hard time connecting with yourself because you start seeing that you're just human. You start realizing that you're not perfect and you start seeing all the things you don't want to think about and see that are pushing you to continue doing all the chesed and continue working hard. Because when you look yourself in the mirror, you know what comes up, everything.
Yeah, it's very scary to think. My father, Zechariah Baruch, used to say, I have a copy of it, I just don't have it with me, a survey that was done by one of the large universities in the U.S. in the 70s, in the 1970s, and they came up.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Oops. They surveyed millions of people, and they came back with the study that 1% of people really think. 4% of people think that they are thinking, and 95% of people would rather die than think. And my father used to say that he disagrees with the study because he doesn't believe there's 1% of people who really think. But that is really, it's scary when we stop and we, self-care is thinking. We really think very, very deep into ourselves, and it could be scary to be alone with ourselves. And like you said, Menachem, before, we can sometimes find imperfections that we never saw before, and we need to deal with it. But again, it's so comforting when we can actually take care of ourselves in a good way. That's self-care.
Yeah, interesting question. Let's bring the Irish into this whole thing. I'm feeling very disconnected from Hashem because I'm so caught up in different struggles of the end of my life. Can self-care help me become closer to the Irish?
What's the question? Why? I mean, who, when we talk about ourselves, are we talking about our body? Not at all. Ourselves is myself, ourselves. It's not our body. It's all our neshama. It's our essence. And that is forever. And that is the real self. It's not my stomach. It's not my hands and feet. That's not myself. That you can let someone else take care of. Self care. Who am I? It's about it, that's all connected to Hashem. And the more self we find, the more neshama we find, the more elikus we find, the more getlichkeit, as we say, 100%. And we get more connected. And we find our true selves, and it makes us grow. All of a sudden, like I mentioned it before, there's so many beautiful things we can learn and educate ourselves in Rochlius, Hashkofe, that, no, it's not for me. Why? Because when I was a teenager, it wasn't for me. I could be 50 now. Hello, did you try it again? Like, at one point we have to stop and revalue ourselves. We changed. We're not the same as I was at a young age when this didn't interest me, that didn't interest me. We have to actually start looking. We're changing. We're evolving. And the more we do that, it creates a tremendous kervus elokim, because this is really who we are when we find ourselves.
Okay, let's go to the closing part. Okay, Shkoyach Rabbi Shlomo Shetaba coming on tonight. I know this is an interesting topic, it's something different, but I think it's a very important topic, and it's something we need to discuss. I think that needs to, you know, really work on this. I'm a big cluster, as you know. So Shkoyach coming, giving physics tonight. Again, tonight, straight to 255. Anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night, 9:00. We have different shiur, different topics, which are next week, March 30th. We're going to have another big shiur. The details are not confirmed, so Hashem, as soon as Menachem confirms it, we'll send out the emails and the flyers. To join us, everything will be recorded on menachemberfel.com. If anyone has any questions, please email coachmenachem@gmail.com. Here tonight, Shir 225. Listen to it on the phone as well at 732-305-9011. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop, Ellie Narrow, Five Town Central, Chai Kaufman from JCN. Rabbi Tauber, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Either by email.
What's your email?
That is Kesher Coaching, one word, Kesher Coaching @gmail.com. Or my office phone is 845-540-4140.
And I'm going to give a closing, then Menachem, and then Rabbi Tauber. So just in short, my closing to wrap up everything is, I actually met Rabbi Tauber a few weeks ago and discussed this topic, something that's passionate to me. I feel like a lot of people just get wrapped up into their own things of taking care of things or world or, you know, just obligations. And we lose that childishness of us when we were younger, that we were able to go and enjoy and just play a football game or whatever it was that we did that made us happy easily. Like, there's no concept. Like, people say, oh, go, go. So, you know, every therapist says self-care. It's like a word that we use that really doesn't have much meaning to it. It's like one of those words, you know, there's no deep understanding. And I feel like if you ask a lot of people what your self-care is, they won't be able to give you a real valid, clear, concrete answer. It's more like, oh, I like drinking a cup of coffee, or I like, you know, taking a bath, like a very simple, you know, nobody has like, oh, this is my thing, or this is what I nearly do you know, again, exercise, I think, is a great thing. And I think it's a great self-care because it gives you that dedicated time and helps you. But, people don't really dedicate. They don't forgive themselves, the right to take care of themselves, and to the same way they, you know, somebody else that needs the chesed, you know, somebody else that needs the help, you do it. But for yourself, for some reason, we seem to neglect our own needs. And the fact of the matter is, people that do take proper care of themselves, again, there's a fine line of being selfish or not, but the people that do take proper care of themselves are usually better around other people, and they're more giving to other people, and they're much more balanced. People that don't, as much as they think they're giving, they're actually hurting themselves, and they're hurting others, so they're not there to be there for the other people. So it's a very important topic, and I think it's a hard topic because people have to really look internal, like we said, like look in the mirror, like Menachem said, and really talk to yourself and find out what you want, what you like, what makes you happy. Forget about what your problems are, what your obligations are. Take away all those things and just really focus, what do I need that make me feel happy now? Not something, a piece of meat, not something that's going to come and go, something that's going to internally make you feel calm and self-regulated and really put you in a new state of form. And I think when we could really start working, it's not a one-minute conversation. It's something that you evolve. It's like a taste. It's like wine. You have to, like, work on it. And then when you find those things that you like, you have to really hold on to them. Like, Kodesh Kachem, I hold that it's just the same way a person has to go daven. Like, you know, and people, by the way, Rabbi Tabor, people do this in learning. People do this in minyan. They take their stress and they, oh, I'm going to daven. And then they're able to a little bit go out of their stress. They're using it as a tool. And some people maybe could connect via learning or davening, but even that, there's certain things you could do that really bring out a certain, you know, happiness in you that makes you feel content and so forth. So again, it's a big topic. It's hard to describe in words and it's hard to, you know, understand it. But if you think if you get the concepts and you saw that it's something you want to work on for yourself, instead of like, you know, I want to work on making more money so my family can have more money. I want to do more in my house. My house will be cleaner. So my kids will be like, everything's for with somebody else in time, you know, somebody else involved. This is like the first thing that you need to say, like, for me, what is this going to do for me? What's going to make me happy in a selfish, but not bad way? Like, just what do I need to do? So I think if we could work on this over the next period of time, just over and over again. And then actually, when it comes, I'm going to tell you a line. And this is really what really bothered me the most. I'm going to say it, Rabbi Tauber. Speaking of the guy, he doesn't have any money. But when his kids need something, he goes and he'll buy them exactly what they need, the more expensive suit, and he sends them to a certain place that he sends his kid to Florida for a few days. But he hasn't gone to Florida in years. I asked him, why are you walking around with a suit that doesn't look proper? Your kid's wearing a custom suit. He's like, oh, I don't need it. But he's sending his kid to Israel to learn yeshiva, but he hasn't been in Israel in 20 years. So is he a great father? Or he's just nobody of a person, a shell of a person that's giving everything for everybody else, which sounds so great, but really what is he, what's his life? His life is just to give for others and his is empty. So when I hear these type of comments, I hear them all the time. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you nuts? So that's my ending. Atzlacha, everybody. Enjoy the journey. It's a long road and there's no clarity in it and you got to find your own way. But when you do find it, it is enriching and it feels good. And it's really the same way it's for you. The accomplishment's for you. So nobody's going to understand the accomplishment. Nobody's going to feel it. You're just going to feel in a happy mood. You're going to feel good about yourself and you're going to feel taken care of just like you would want your father or mother to do for you, or you would want your friend to take you out for your supper, or you want, you know, that thing. You could do that for yourself. You just have to learn how to selfishly focus on it and actually say, I'm going to spend the money on myself. I'm going to give myself that time. I'm going to dedicate 3 hours to this and not be disturbed by somebody else, because that's what I want to do. I want to read this book. I'm going to turn off my phone because that's the book that came out. I want to read it. I want to do that for myself. Coach Menachem.
Wow. You just blew us away. So thank you very much, Rabbi Tauber. I think there's a lot of mindfulness when we talk about self-care. And that really, you know, ask yourself, when I'm doing something, is it an escape or is it to connect? It's being able to ask myself, where am I? Saying hello to myself. Taking a deep breath and looking around and like, whoa, I didn't realize where I am. Like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? By very simple, asking yourself simple questions, you can, to start on that journey to say, who am I? Menachem. Like, who just said my name? Menachem. What's going on? What's that? You know, oh, wow. Oh. And you start realizing, where am I? You can ask yourself, what do I like? And what don't I like? Interesting. I never thought about it. You know, there are people that me like. Am I allowed to? Does it make a difference? Yeah. So, like you said, many grow up, you know, we have to follow. We have to please. We have to be there for others. That's when we feel good about ourselves. If we do to make everybody happy, that's when I am. But if the people around me are not happy, I dissolve. I'm not there. And now we get older and we want to stop that cycle. And the only way how to stop it is by doing self-care. Learn who you are. Say, yes, I deserve. You get to a place where you can say, I am okay. And then the voice in your head says, why? And you don't have to answer it. You say, I'm okay.
Kol HaLashon.
Like, yeah, really? Why? Who said? I'm fine. It's good. I'm not perfect. I know. There's a lot of things I have to work on. Yes, I made mistakes, but it's okay. I'm okay. And be there for yourself. So that's why it could be hard to get there. It could take time, but just, you know, every day for a few minutes to connect to yourself. Realize, become aware of when you're escaping and being able to connect to yourself. give yourself the little bit that you need. Again, if it's something big and you can do it, fine. But usually the big stuff, you don't have so much time and we are busy. But 2 minutes a day, everybody has. What could I do with those 2 minutes? Take a few deep breaths. Some fresh air if you enjoy it. Small things. Start something small to connect to yourself. And mitzvah Hashem, by you connecting to yourself, you're stopping that cycle. By you connecting to yourself, you can be there for the people around you, which you're so concerned about. And that's the reason why till now you never took care of yourself, because you're there for them. You really want to be there for them. Take a deep breath. Find a moment in your day where you can learn about yourself so that you can be there for others. Mitzvah Hashem, and Hashem should help us all. Hashem, please help us. We're trying. We're learning. Shkoyach.
Beautiful.
Closing words.
Yes. Okay. The first huge shout out to all is the self-care we all took tonight is to be here. You all saw the ad, so you knew what we're going to talk about, and whoever showed up is actually taking care of themselves. I'll try to wrap it up in short, in 2 minutes, because we have covered a lot of ideas, struggles, growth, real life. So in order to finish with something we can actually remember and take home, I want to leave you with 7 simple punchlines, Be'ez Hashem, 7 takeaways that we can carry with us to remember, to live by, and to hold on to when it gets hard. And that is the ultimate self-care we want to get to. Number 1, I can be strong and firm, yet still be soft and kind. 2, I can stand on my own and still reach out for support. 3, life can sometimes be painful and I can still be happy. 4, I can lead others and still ask for guidance. 5, I can care deeply for others and still protect my own space. 6, I can listen to other opinions and still speak my truth. And 7, there are others who are really good people, yet I am just as good because I gave it my best.
Wow.
So yes, my dear friends, we can be both. I can be strong and gentle, independent and connected, happy even through pain. I can lead and still learn, care without losing myself, listen and still speak up, and know others are great, and still believe that I matter too. Why? Because life isn't either or. It's the beautiful, heilige, the holy balance of both. And when I show up every day trying to be my best, not perfect, but real, and not flawless, but faithful, trusting myself, then I'm exactly where I need to be. And that, in Hashem's eyes, is more than enough. Thank you all very, very much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rabbi Taub. I really enjoyed it. Everybody's texting. Can they get the 7 punchlines? Menachem sends out the email. We'll post it on the email. We'll post it on the group chat. So please join Menachem's emails. Go to coachmenachem@gmail.com. Join the WhatsApp chats. And everybody, will see you next week. Thank you for joining us. And Rabbi Taub said the best. Just the fact that people come here Sunday night to for themselves as a self-care. Hashem, next week, hopefully, maybe some of you won't come because you'll be busy doing something else for self-care. But whatever it is, but you'll do something. Yeah. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Zay gezunt.
Thank you.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.